Last Sunday, I talked about prayer partners, having partners that you can pray with, people in your life, spouses, children, even myself, people that you can call upon 24/7 to pray with, which opened up the proverbial can of worms about prayer. And so I felt obligated to preach on the kinds of prayer. I don't believe in doing a sermon series on prayer because there are some subjects that go deep, and you should be have the opportunity of having questions and us having conversation about the subject of prayer, for example. So sometime in the future I will teach a class on prayer where we can engage and have conversation about prayer and the different kinds of prayer, and we can do that. But for right now, I'm going to talk about the different kinds of prayer that the scriptures talk about and make reference to. To begin with, I want to share with you a story about my niece, Carly Jane Wagner. Lives in Oklahoma City. She's a grown woman now, but when she was a little girl, my sister told me a story about her daughter. And it goes like this. My sister and her husband and their two children, Carly and Lee, go to Chapel Hill United Methodist Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And they had a nice program called Prayer Partners, and the program went something like this. For 2 weeks, people would put prayer petitions in a nice box. A man in the church, a carpenter, made a nice, beautiful box. And there was an opening, and people would write their petitions, right, and put them in the box. And for the last two Sundays, people would go and pick petitions out of the box, and they would pray for them. My niece wanted to do that. She was about 12 years old, and she was very excited. She said, "Mom, can I do this?" And she said, "Yes, we'll do it together." So they went, and Carly Jane put her hand in the box and pulled out a piece of paper that was the perfect storm. It was a prayer petition from a woman, and her husband lost his job. He was laid off. Their finances were limited, so there was a possibility of them losing their home. On top of that, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, which meant that health insurance was no longer available for her treatment. My niece, Carly Jane, did not blink an eye, and she went right to work in prayer. And she prayed with a good heart and a clear mind, and she prayed and prayed, and prayed. On the fourth day, that fourth night, she walks crying into my sister's and brother-in-law's bedroom, and my sister asked, "Honey, what's wrong?" And my niece, Carly Jane, answered, "I don't want to be responsible for this woman's life if my prayers aren't answered. I don't want to be responsible for this woman's life if my prayers aren't answered. I don't want to be responsible for this woman's life if my prayers aren't answered." Somewhere along the way, Carly received the message that prayer changes things. That if you say the right combination of words and have the right attitude, that prayer can change things. Somewhere along the way, she received the message that prayer is a transactional agreement between us and God. It is a problem-solving exercise that we have with God whenever we are struggling with something. That if we pray hard enough and have the right combination of words again and have the right mind and the right heart, then like fast food, like Amazon Prime, get it the next day, by gosh. We like Amazon Prime, right? We're conditioned to believe that. We like instant gratification, right? We like that. We like instant gratification. We want things. And God, if I pray hard enough, if I say the right combination of words and have full faith in you, and if my prayer friends are praying with me, then by gosh, it's going to come. I can just feel it, right? No. No. Prayer is much deeper than that. So today we're going to talk about the different kinds of prayer that there are. And then I'm going to talk about one way of understanding prayer. To begin with, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 that Rob read for us is very helpful. And in this particular scripture reading, Paul invites us to pray for kings and people in high places, right? In high positions. And I'm going to read for you. Pray for kings and everyone who are in high places so that they may lead, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of our God, Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So, keep seated. Pray for the Bushes and the Clintons, the Obamas, and the Trumps. Glad nobody left. We pray for them, for this is the will of our God, who wishes that everybody be saved. Everybody be saved. Paul outlines for us four different kinds of prayer. Four different kinds of prayer. Prayers of supplication are prayers that is asking God for something. When we pray in worship service this morning, we have prayers for our teams, and we thank God for the rain, and we have prayers for people who are traveling, rather. So these are prayers of supplication. Then we have prayers of intercession. We pray for people. Rhett this morning, who was in our sound booth, asked me to pray for his friend Mark. Mark was a friend of his who was attacked by a former employee that he had to fire because he was stealing. And this former employee went and beat him with a baseball bat, and he's recovering in a hospital and having a very difficult time. So there's a prayers for intercession, and we're praying on Mark's behalf, right? We're praying on Mark's behalf. Then there are just prayers, plain, simple prayers. What I understand plain, simple prayers to be are steadfast prayers. Steadfast prayers are prayers where we are constantly engaged. We're committed in the prayer life. We're resolute, we're loyal, and we're unwavering in our prayers, right? We're unwavering in our prayers. Then, of course, there are the simple prayers of thanksgiving, right? The simple prayers of thanksgiving. And I mentioned rain, and that's important, and blue bonnets, it's important too, but we need to think about how we can pray for deeper things, right? There's deeper things. I cannot always remember on Sunday morning the things that happen in the world. I'm thankful that Dwight remembered to lift up the deployment of our troops to the Persian Gulf, right? I had forgotten that, right? But there's been shootings, and there's been earthquakes, and there's been difficulties around the world, and I invite you to lift them up. We also need to lift up people who where life has happened, where there's been reconciliation. We need to lift up in our prayer life as a community of faith where forgiveness has happened in people's life. And so we need to begin to think about how we in church, in the confidence of the community of faith, can lift these people up. I pastored a church one time, and there was a man who lost his job, and he wasn't asking anyone for help, but he was asking for the prayers of the church during worship. And he, before his family and the whole congregation that Sunday morning, lifted up his situation, his loss of job. And so we prayed for him and sprung into action to try to help him find resolution. So we need to go deeper than blue bonnets, okay? Need to go deeper than blue bonnets and sunshine and the lotus moon last night. I prefer magnolia moon. It's more southern, right? Right? It's more of a magnolia moon. Beautiful white moon. Jesus gives us some ideas about prayer, and I like the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is beautiful, but we can go too deep into the Lord's Prayer and make it complicated, and it's not that complicated. There's two different nuances I want to lift up about the Lord's Prayer, which are these. First of all, the Lord's Prayer is said in a plural form. It's not in first person singular, okay? Let me explain. It doesn't read, "My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." It doesn't say, "Give me this day my daily bread." It doesn't say, "Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me." It doesn't say, "Rescue me from evil." It doesn't say, "Deliver me from evil." It isn't first person singular. It is in the plural form. So I believe that this particular Lord's Prayer, we have named that. The Lord didn't say this is the Lord's Prayer in the Bible. We named it the Lord's Prayer. I think the Lord's Prayer should be actually termed the disciples' prayer or the community of the prayer of the faithful. And so with that in mind, in terms of it being plural, I'd like for you to hear it differently, all right? So, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," okay? "Lead us not into temptation." By the way, the Lord doesn't lead us into temptation. The Lord doesn't lead us into temptation, right? It's "deliver us from evil." The Lord, "do not bring us to the," help us to overcome temptation is what that translation should read. So, "rescue us from the evil one." So this is a plural prayer. And whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for the community of faith. We're just not praying for ourselves when we pray the Lord's Prayer daily, and I invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer at least daily. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer daily, we're praying for each other, the community of faith, not me personally, which reminds us that we are not on this faith walk by ourselves, that we are on this journey together. That being said, there are other forms of prayer. There is meditation. The scriptures talk about meditation. If you were to do a word search on BibleGateway.com and go to the Revised Standard Version or the New Revised Standard Version or maybe the NIV or the King James, you will get a clearer understanding of the word meditate and how many times it's used in the scripture. But to meditate is to actually put something in our minds and bring it to the Lord our God. We don't have to say any words, but just to lift it up in our mind. There have been times in my children's life that I've just kept them in my mind, and I went to God in prayer and didn't have any words to say. "God, my children, I have them before you, and just let that be a meditative form of prayer. Meditation prayer is a mental prayer. So is contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer is prayer where we contemplate the presence of our God. We sang the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. There's a verse in there, I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Contemplative prayer is waiting for the presence of God, is practicing the presence of God. And people did that throughout the scriptures. They practiced the presence of God. They practiced the presence of God. Jesus teaches us to go to our rooms and to pray. And during hunting season, my prayer life exponentially increases because most of the time that I do my prayer life is in the deer stand. You know, pray a deer doesn't show up so I can have my time with God, right? And so there I pray and pray and pray and just contemplatively wait and focus on the presence of God in my life. So I'm inviting you to find a place where you can meditate and contemplate in your prayer life, a place where you can find God and God can find you in your prayer life. Psalm 46, verse 10, David talks about prayer where we still our hearts and minds. Be still and know that I am God. That's a very important thing to do. Even in biblical times, people's lives got so fast, right? People's lives and consciousness got to a different place that folks were hijacked in their thoughts and in their heart, and they gave their heart to fear. And so being still and knowing that I am God is part of contemplative and meditative prayer where we still our hearts and minds. Because sometimes life is like driving in rush hour Austin traffic where everybody's driving 80 miles an hour, right? And we get in that highway and we just have to buckle our seatbelts and hold on, right? We're on for the ride. So we have to stop, and be still, tune our hearts and minds to a rhythm that is holy, a rhythm that is greater than our own, attune ourselves to God that we may understand and appreciate the presence of God. This morning in the front of your bulletin, there's another form of prayer, and it's a quote from St. Augustine. Those who sing pray twice. I believe that. So whenever we sing, we're actually praying, okay? So our prayers on Sunday morning, though they are verbal at times, not music, not to put to music, we sing three additional prayers on Sunday morning. And also we pray the Psalms, okay? We pray the Psalms. My dad, being a policeman, he memorized two prayers, the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is also a prayer, and I also see the 23rd Psalm as an affirmation of faith. So my dad, sometimes he would begin to quote the Lord's Prayer when he felt like he was going into the shadow of death, right? And so as an older man, when he could not remember the Lord's Prayer or the 23rd Psalm, he was grief-stricken by that. So I believe that's why God invented poster board and big black markers, right? So I wrote the Lord's Prayer on one poster board, and I wrote the 23rd Psalm on the other poster board, and I take those suckers to the wall. So every morning when my dad woke up, he saw the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm, and every morning when he went to sleep, when we weren't there to say it with him, he read the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm and brought his soul much peace and comfort until his death. So we pray the Psalms. The Psalms are the prayer book of the church. And we pray the Psalms and we don't have words to say. There's sometimes in our life when we don't have the right combination of words to say. So we pray the Psalms. There's times when I pray just the Psalms. My scripture reading is just the Psalms, right? Just the Psalms. And I invite you just to pray the Psalms, just by reading them. Going to that quiet place in your life, going to your room, that proverbial place in your life where you can pray the Psalms. And then, even then, that we live in the state of grace. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he writes, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought." Amen? Come on. Amen? Thank you. Thought I was the only one who didn't know how to pray as I ought to. "But that very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words." Now I'm going to invite you to do something. I want you to, on the count of three, to sigh with me. One, two, three. Wasn't that good? The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with sighs. The Holy Spirit of God intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Sometimes we don't get the right combination of words, right? I don't get just the right words to say, but you know what? The Holy Spirit kind of justifies that, kind of like that justify button on our laptop or computer, right? Justifies, makes things right on both sides. You know, does the spell check, right? Does the grammar check, right? And makes it good for us because we don't get it right all the time. The Holy Spirit of God intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And probably one of the most offensive phrases to me, and I hate this, and it's okay to hate something, right? I think so, you know? There's a, I hate liver, you know? But, you know, the phrase is this: be careful what you pray for because you just might get it. That's a total lie. That's so stupid. Did you give everything your child ever asked for when they were growing up? I hope not. I know I didn't. As a grown man, I still want a mini bike, right? It's another sermon, all right? The Lord isn't going to give us something. If you got it because you prayed for it, and the Lord didn't want you to have it, it's because you worked for it to get it, and you got it by gosh and by God. You did. I want to close with this story because for me it best encapsulates what prayer life is all about. As I shared with you, my dad was a policeman, and I didn't go to sleep till my dad came home, which is usually about 11:30. I'm of the belief that the families and children, spouses and children of those who serve in our military also serve. And I also believe that the spouses and children of law enforcement and first responders also serve. And I knew sometimes my dad would come back pretty roughed up. And so I'd wait for my dad to come home every night that he worked. So my dad would come home, and when he would come in through the porch and would come in to the door and the porchway to the dining room, I would hear that door close because my bedroom was right above that door, and I could hear it close, and I could go to sleep. One night, my dad came home. I heard the door close. And I heard him come up the stairs to my bedroom. I think, oh, my God, what did I do? Right? I could smell the night on him. The side of my bed, and he knelt down, and I could smell the night on him. And all that that means. I could smell the night on him, and he said, "Son, you all right?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want to teach you a prayer." And I said, "Okay." I was in elementary school. And this is the prayer that he taught me. He said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And after he said it once, I said, "Dad, but I don't want to die before I wake." Right? And my dad said, "Just memorize it. You'll understand later," right? Okay, all right. It's kind of like when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, "When I was a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put up childish things." So as an adult, I understood what that part was for. You see, when we pray, we put our lives into the heart of God. In however form we pray, we trust in that great mystery of unknowing, that God would provide in whatever path we take in life, whichever direction life goes. And I am of the belief that the prayers that my niece Carly lifted up for that woman, though it may not have happened the way she would want it to, that God sustained that woman through the darkness and gave her strength to overcome. God provides that even though we die before we wake, God is with us. And we trust in the Lord our God as we put our lives into the heart of God and trust that it will be okay. So today, I invite you to do that, to be intentional in our prayer life, to find somebody that you can pray with, to trust that the Spirit will intercede for us with sighs too deep for words, and to know that when we pray, that we are putting our lives into the mystery heart of God, and that we will be answered in grace and in courage, power and peace. May it be so for you this day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.